Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. And actually, today we're going to finish up our filmmaker series. And we have our guest today is filmmaker Chris Faglio, who is one of the producers of The White Spruce. And this particular short film won top honors in the homegrown comedy short category in the Garden State Film Festival, which was probably about a month or so ago at this point. So lots of things to talk about. So first of all, Chris, thanks for being my guest today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on. I'm glad that we could do this.
I'm glad we could do this, too. And first of all, congratulations on winning the Homegrown Comedy Short. I'm sure that felt really fantastic to have that honor.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, it was great. The whole festival was wonderful, and it was really great, really well run. Our screening was more perfect than I can ask for. I mean, it looked great. It sounded great. There was a good audience in there. People clapped and laughed, so that was always good, especially when you have a comedy like The White Spruce. You're always nervous about hearing people laugh or not. But it's just more of an honor to actually, you know, win an award and, you know, to be named homegrown, best comedy is best comedy short is really great because, you know, to be recognized by your peers, especially being mm-hmm. it's a New Jersey based award and we're a New Jersey based company, it just feels great. So we're very very proud and very honored to have been a part of it.
Well, just for those of you who are listening who might not know what the Homegrown Awards mean, these are a whole separate category in the Garden State Film Festival for films that were created within the state of New Jersey. So for me, doing filmmaker series, I do really like to reach out to filmmakers from New Jersey because, after all, that's where I'm based. So, you know, double pleasure to have you. So, you know what, let's just talk a little bit about, tell me about Gray Sky Films, because that is your mm-hmm. actual company. So tell me about that.
Yes, sure. So Gray Sky Films is actually, we're a video production agency, and it was started and is still owned by myself and my business partner, Mark Sorreo. We started mm-hmm. the company 15 years ago, so we've been in business for 15 years. And, you know, really, really the core focus of the company is to work with businesses and brands. We work with a lot of marketing and ad agencies, and pretty much our goal is to create really awesome video content for everybody. Video content that's going to really help them out with their business, whether it's showing mm-hmm. and showing the world who they are, what they do, talking about their products and services, hearing from their like raving fan clients, and so on and so forth, and just really creating really accessible content for them that they can use on their website and social media, email marketing campaigns, or if they're using for trade shows, things of that nature. So, yeah, we get very involved. So that's basically, in a quick nutshell, that's what we do.
Okay.
And then the film side of things,
that's what I want to know. Where does that come from?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so that's living a dream right there. I mean, it's all living the dream, really, you know. But the film side is, Mark and I went to William Patterson University, and we went there for filmmaking. So we're filmmakers at heart, and we are filmmakers. And everybody here is either a filmmaker or has the passion of making movies. And, you know, of course, making movies and helping our clients out is great and is our number one priority. But, you know, when we can have the opportunity, we take it to, you know, expand our creative powers, for lack of a better word, and have some fun and cut loose. And that's really where the filmmaking part comes in. We did a film in 2006, a short film. It's about 45 minutes long and a comedy called What's Your Problem? And that was basically about a wannabe detective agency where, you know, four people come together and form. They're none of them have any background in detective work or anything like that. It's all very romanticized from novels and movies, and them thinking that they're actual detectives, and they form this detective agency and basically, you know, hijinks ensue. And it's got a lot of our personality in it from a lot of things that we've loved, Mark and I, as far as comedies go, mm-hmm. from, you know, the Marx Brothers stuff all the way up to, like, you know, Caddyshack and Billy Madison and just a lot of the classic comedies, like the Three Amigos, and that's all the stuff that we love, and that is really born out of that. And then moving forward, there was a really long gap between that film and White Spruce, basically 8 years, and it really came down to the fact of, like, having to focus on running a business, an actual business that,
right.
you know, makes money, feeds our families, takes care of people. So we put our heads down and just focused on the business, and then finally an opportunity came up, and the White Spruce was born out of that opportunity.
Well, before I ask you a few more things specifically about the White Spruce, so you studied filmmaking, and so I'm sure
mm-hmm.
that was, even though, of course, you're in the video production business, and that is filmmaking, obviously, as well.
No, it absolutely 100% is, yeah.
Of course, but when you're doing your own kind of films for fun, I guess you're kind of in a different mindset than working with a client. So who's the writer, who's the director, how did you divide all that up for your fundraising?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, it's funny. I mean, you were saying, like, being in a different mindset, but actually the mindset I think is the same as far as, you know, whether you're doing it for yourself or for a client, because you still want to put deadlines on yourself as if, you know, you
mm-hmm.
are your own client, because then otherwise things don't get done. So we treated ourselves as a client and put timelines and put deadlines, so that way we made sure that this got done, and that it wasn't something that we shot and then sat around waiting to be edited for months and months on end. So I mean, it really started the how White Spruce came about and the process that led to it. I'll dive into that real quick. So quick backstory is that Mark and I started doing a thing here in the company where every year since around 2007, instead of sending out like a holiday greeting gift card or greeting card or something like that to our
mm-hmm.
clients for the holidays, we decided to start creating videos and sending that out. And
oh.
they progressed. I mean, they started out really simple with sort of holiday memory stuff, and then they started getting to be more like skit kind of style and short films, but it really starred all of us in the company, and we're very, like, lo-fi and just corny and fun. I mean, that was the whole point. It was just to really have something funny that sent out, and the clients loved it. And so every year, you know, it's like we try to up the ante, and everybody's expecting more. So we finally decided to, when we wanted to do The White Spruce, this was 2015, we said, well, why don't we just do something completely different in the way of, let's not cast ourselves in the film, let's not make it corny and lo-fi, let's actually show everybody what this company is capable of producing, a really high quality,
mm-hmm.
a really nice, you know, short film. We knew we wanted it to be a comedy, and we said, well, we'll make it holiday themed. So we actually all started coming together and coming up with ideas. We originally were trying to think of something that was around 2 to 5 minutes, and everybody in the company was trying to come up with ideas. And then I actually had an idea that started off with focused on a couple trying to pick out a Christmas tree at a Christmas tree farm. And they were talking a lot of, like, euphemisms for each other, basically, you know, in their relationship and the context of picking out trees and kind of busting each other's chops and things like that. And everybody really loved the idea of something happening at a tree farm and that sort of thing happening. So what happened, though, is that I think it was one of the best ideas to go, is that we got rid of the couple end of this, and we made it more about a guy whose name is Guy, who works on
a
tree
guy,
farm.
A guy, right. A guy whose name was Guy, yeah.
and he has to deal with all these, you know, crazy characters that come in to try to steal or try to take the tree, the last White Spruce. And we started coming up with a lot of different characters and a lot of different movements that could happen in the film. And then Dana Rizzo, who's our editor here at Gray Sky, one of our editors, she's our head post-production manager here, she actually took it upon herself and said, well, let me write the script. I want to write the script. So she took all these, the story points and all the characters we came up with and everything, and she started writing the script. And so I think we went through quickly about, like, I want to say 3 or 4 revisions, but I can't fully remember. And we were able to get it down to, like, a really manageable about 20 or 23-page script. So it went from a 2 to 5 minute thing to, like, that long. But, you know, we really wanted to do it. So, and this, by the way, I'll say, too, this process started in, I believe, early October. And we wanted to have this film out in time for the holidays. So we were really rushing ourselves to get this done because we said, well, we really want to do this. So we were, like, basically doing gray sky during the day, and then at night we were, you know, working on the film and getting everything done. So once we were – once, you know, as we were going with the script, we started to begin casting. We always knew that we wanted Kevin Coyle, who was in our first film, What's Your Problem, to play – the lead of Guy. So we knew 100% that we wanted him to be in it, and we asked him, we showed him the script, and he fell in love with it and said, yeah, I definitely want to be a part of this. And then from there, we started casting. You know, we cast all the actors, all those characters. We held auditions, and I think we did a few rounds of auditions in the city, and, you know, we finally settled on a cast. I mean, we've been still casting, I believe, even like a week before we were about to shoot, we were still trying to fill certain roles. And then, you know, I think we just found, like, every actor I think we found was just fantastic.
What was the toughest role to fill?
That's a really great question. I'm trying to think back. That's the toughest role to fill.
You really do have a crazy assortment of characters, which of course makes the fun of the movie. And I'll tell you some of my favorites. But I am curious, who was the toughest one? You knew who you wanted for the lead, Guy.
We knew we wanted Kevin to play Guy. I think we had a tough time finding with the hagglers. We had the two hagglers, the male, the husband and the wife.
Yeah.
And Wade Kirby, who plays the husband of the haggling couple, he was one of the ones that was very last minute because we were having trouble finding somebody who we thought was a good match for Elizabeth, who played the wife. And also could do a really good English accent because her native language is she's English, British. So she speaks English and she does it really well. And we were having a hard time really finding someone to pair up with her and could do the English accent. And we knew Wade from business dealings, but he's also an actor and he's produced films. And we asked him to audition and he was really happy and he just killed the audition. We're like, oh my God, he is perfect. So I think if I remember correctly, he was maybe the last one that we put in because we were having trouble finding somebody for that role. I'm trying to think. I mean, we went through a few different actresses for the lead role of Amy, the guy's, like, love interest. So I remember auditioning a bunch of different actresses for that one, and they were all great. You know, it's what happens is when you have a lot of great talent coming in, it's hard sometimes to find – you have to pick one. So you start going through a lot of process of seeing, like, who looks good next to who and all that. So, but yeah, that was a lot of the roles kind of happened. Like Addison Eisenberg, you know, she came in dressed up like basically a little Wednesday Addams for the role, the creepy girl. And I mean, she just blew us away. The moment she walked in the room, she did the whole routine with the sides and everything, and she just crushed it. So, you know, some people were just like, they came in and just naturally were like, oh my God, like, I can't believe what our luck is that somebody comes in, like, with the look and just nails the role like that. And with so many, roles to fill.
She was my favorite character. She looked like, she made me think of Wednesday Addams. And obviously that's, you know, I think anyone who saw them, you don't know who Wednesday Addams is. That's kind of sad to me if you don't know about the Addams family. But this little girl, she was really pretty crazy and very creepy, but so fun.
Yeah, she was great.
Oh my God, I loved it. I think she's for me my favorite character, and of course I did love the mobsters. They were so fun also. And the chainsaw guy, the chainsaw enthusiast,
chain professional.
Chain professional. He was pretty crazy, too. And, of course, you know, there was even a whole separate little trailer just on that gentleman who played him. So I actually think, if I remember, I linked to that right in my promo, because he was a pretty funny character. And well, he did not have such a good time of it after all with his chainsaws. So that brings me to a question about special effects. I guess you had some
right.
in that movie.
Well, yeah, I mean, they were all very, you know, I mean, it wasn't a ton of special effects, but like that with Justin getting his hand cut off, the chainsaw guy, I mean, we did just some right on there, like just some special effects, you know, makeup stuff. And Kelly, who also works there at Grace Guy, she handles our marketing, she worked on that to help kind of give it that look with some theatrical blood that she had gotten and kind of worked on wrapping his hand up so it looked like a stump and made it all, like, juicy looking with the blood.
Yeah,
so,
I know. It was pretty crazy. It really was, yeah.
Yeah, and then we put the sound effects in of kind of that squishy. So we filmed it at a farm in Long Valley called Rolling Green Farm. It's a
beautiful,
real Christmas tree farm.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, it's gorgeous, and the owners are really, really awesome people. It was very nice of them to let us film there. We filmed for 3 days, and they were just extremely awesome to us, and we were really appreciative of them letting us sort of disrupt their farm for 3 days. And we did it right before tree season started, like before they were going to open the farm. So it was like the week right before Thanksgiving when we shot this in November. And it happened to be three of the coldest nights in November ever, because I remember the week before, it was like in the 50s. And it was great. And we're like, oh, this is going to be great. And we got out there, and it was like at some points at night, it was getting down to like 9 degrees at night. So heating, keeping everybody warm was a big issue for us. I mean, we had a big tent with a heater in it, which basically did nothing. It didn't do too much. We had a little trailer that we put a little tiny space heater in to try to keep people warm in there. And then we just had all cars lined up, and people would duck in and out of cars in between takes and things like that, the actors, just to keep everybody warm. So that it was that.
Well,
the weather made things a little challenging.
A little
but,
challenging.
You know, we got through it.
I was curious, what is the big challenge when you're filming outdoors in a location like a Christmas tree farm? But obviously keeping your cast of characters warm is paramount. But what other kinds of challenges
Absolutely.
Do you face when you're outdoors in the night?
Well,
and the cold?
I mean, just the variables of being outside. I mean, you can't really control nature. So obviously we're hoping it wasn't going to rain. That would have been, and we had rain dates, you know, set up if it was going to rain. So that was obviously a challenge, because everything takes place outside. And then, you know, it was usually when you're in a location, you have to, you know, whether it's cars or airplanes going overhead, things like that that can really ruin the audio. Back there, it wasn't so bad, although, you know, every now and then we had the planes. There was a lot of wind, I think, the first day or the second. Both days I remember being very, very windy, so we were also struggling with making sure that we could dampen the wind sound on the mics, so that wasn't getting picked up a lot either. So, you know, those are all the challenges of, you know, when you're working out on location like that, you know, with the elements as far as filming goes. And then, of course, you got to make sure there's all the accommodations for people, like make sure there's bathrooms, and obviously food is a huge part of everything. You have to absolutely make sure you have food, good food for people. If you're going to spend anything on your production other than, you know, the right gear to make it look right, it's also making sure that you have food for everybody all throughout the day, especially when you're working outside. It's cold, hot food for, like, lunch and dinner. If there's any information I give to anybody, it's don't chintz on the food. Never chintz on the food, because you'll get angry people right away.
You will, of course. Several filmmakers that we ran into at the Garden State Film Festival who were talking about budget, and were talking about, you know, what did you spend the lion's share of your budget on? And I was surprised to hear how many people said, well, food was a really a big chunk of their budget, because like so many, you know, independent filmmakers, they could be working with a very minimal budget. But you're right. You can never skimp on food. You can't.
Especially if you're asking people to work long days and long hours, and obviously in our case, not the ideal conditions with it being very cold. So, you know, making sure that those hot coffee, hot tea, hot chocolate, like just always something hot and warm for people to at least warm themselves up and get that. And obviously just, you know, food to keep up the energy, lots of high-carb food, things of that nature. So, yeah, it's important. So any filmmakers out there, I urge you all, I know budgets can be tight, but don't skimp on the food. Get food. You'll get people will be your ally and friend forever, and they'll push through a production.
So, Chris, what was your favorite part of this particular movie, The White Spoon?
So, there's actually two favorite parts I have. So one of the ideas that I contributed for the film, which then Dana took and just made like so much more awesome in the script, was I had an idea of the carolers, when he encounters the carolers and they're singing about buying the tree. So that my quick idea was just that, you know, I think when he should encounter carolers at some point. And, you know, Dana wrote the little song and had that dialogue exchange. It was just awesome on script. And then when we shot it, it looked unbelievable. The caroling group that we had, we actually hired a caroling group that comes out during the holidays, and they'll do, you know, whether it's at corporate events or you hire them to do towns, they do that. Yeah. They have the outfits and they were just awesome. So when you hear them sing, that's them singing. That's not like pre-recorded or anything. Like that's them singing that stuff live. And then, you know, once again, when you're working with great actors and guys like Kevin Coyle, who are just really good and very good at improv and bring a lot to the table, that whole like exchange where he even like the scene sits and you see him leave frame and he comes back in and goes, you guys are really good singers. Like, that's not really in the script, and that was all improv, and it was just great, and we left it in, and everybody loves that part of the film. So that one's really good. And then when he goes down the path and he sees the news reporter and the cameraman, so Taya, who's just a phenomenal character. She is in so many different things. She's such a great actor, and she just turned it right on. And that whole exchange is great between her delivery and Kevin's expressions of being interviewed, and that whole exchange. I love those two parts, and they kind of butt up next to each other, but everybody laughs hard at those two parts.
Well, unfortunately in the audience they laugh at the appropriate moment, so that has to feel pretty good.
It feels great.
Now, have you ever been in front of the camera?
I've been in front of the camera for our productions. Like I said, some of the holiday videos that we've done over time, I've been in front of the camera. We used to do a sitcom here as a company called It's Not Just the Mark and Chris Show. So that was like starring everybody in the company, and Mark and I were on, so I'd be on camera for those things. And this stuff's all on YouTube, by the way. If anybody wants to see some really old funny stuff, it's all on our YouTube channel. Just search Gray Sky Films. So it's all on there. And then some of our more professional stuff I'm on camera for sometimes. Like we do a monthly video newsletter, and sometimes I appear on that on camera. And just some other marketing promotional things that we'll do here as a company, I'll be on camera sometimes too. So it's always a little weird for me, but I definitely prefer being more behind the scenes on stuff. But you know, it's fun. It's a lot of fun. Once I get going, it's not so bad. It's just the initial steps of getting going.
For you, what is your favorite part of the filmmaking process?
Oh, man. I guess, you know, there's so many parts I love about it. I really love, like, putting it together. You know, the moment that you actually, you know, we've been talking, you know, you spend so much time in pre-production. The actual time they're actually shooting stuff is so much smaller than the actual time of preparing to shoot and getting everything together. So pre-production could be, you know, months, weeks, mm-hmm. if not even, you know, years for some shoots. And that's when everything was truncated, so it moved very quickly. But even still, we spent a lot of time in pre-production. So it was great when cameras finally started rolling over the course of those 3 days to be able to see people, like those characters in the script, start to come alive in their, you know, in the wardrobe, and they're, you know, like seeing like Addison dressed up as she did as the creepy little girl, and hearing her do her lines mm-hmm. with Kevin, you know, seeing Justin as the chainsaw guy, and just all these different characters, and it's just, it's so great to see that happen. You know, I think that part, from like the point from like the pre-production, and then once you're on set and you're filming it and you're seeing it, is pretty cool. And then of course, you know, when you get back to watch the footage mm-hmm. and it starts coming together yeah. as an edit, it's like, oh my God, you know. But there's a certain magic, I think, that happens from like pre-production to the point of filming, and you're seeing like everybody in their characters, in their wardrobe, like doing what they do.
Pretty cool. Now, let me ask you, this past weekend, I believe, White Spruce was also screened at a very local Jersey Shore film festival
sure.
called the Hold On To Your Shorts Festival.
Yeah, Hang On To Your Shorts, yeah.
Hang On To Your Shorts.
Yeah, it was
Which is a great name, by the way. But so tell me about that. How was that experience?
That was great. The group that runs that festival are really, really awesome people. They're all filmmakers themselves, and they're all very mm-hmm. dedicated to supporting the independent film scene, and especially, you know, bringing independent film to New Jersey and giving filmmakers a forum to screen their films in an audience. And this year it was in Asbury Park. They did a screening. Everything happened actually yesterday, Sunday, the 24th, and it was they were using the Showroom Theater, I think it was, in Asbury,
yes.
which has two screens, and then they were using a restaurant called Porta, and they yes. had a screen set up there in one of the back rooms. So it was really cool. We saw a lot of really awesome films, met some really great people, and it was a lot of fun. And then at the end of the night, they did awards, and once again, we you know, are very humbled and honored that they selected The White Spruce to be Best Comedy Short of the festival. So we were very
cool.
Thank you.
Good
yeah, we were
you.
Very happy, very, very happy,
good
and just it's just great. So yeah, it's been a nice little run for this film, and you know, everybody, we didn't really have any expectations when we made this other than making it and sharing it with our clients and friends and family. And we said, yeah, we'll enter into some festivals and see what happens. And it's just been, it's been really nice. It's been a really, really
mm-hmm.
awesome experience.
So the question would be then, and we're actually just have a couple more minutes before we're out of time.
Sure.
But if somebody really wants to watch The Blue Spruce, is there going to be an opportunity at some point online for people to see it?
Yeah, The White Spruce.
The White Spruce. Yeah.
That's okay. Well, you know what? There are blue spruces. There's a bunch of different spruces. So, but yeah, The White Spruce. So right now, while we're sending it out to festivals, it's
mm-hmm.
not on a public link at the moment. But I'm sure that you know, once the run is done and we've kind of, you know, exhausted it, we'll probably then be posting it permanently at a place where everybody can see it.
Very good.
You know, if people really, really want to see it, I mean, we're always happy to share it with them. They can, you know, always hit me up direct, and you know, I can send them a timed out link that they can watch for a certain amount of time just to check it out. But yeah, we will eventually be making it public once, you know, it's a lot with the festivals. So once that's done, it'll wind up having a permanent home.
Okay. Very good then. So, we are almost out of time. So I just want to remind everyone, I'll put my blog up and I'll put links to Gray Sky Films, and you can watch the trailer. And if you want to reach out to Chris and get a copy of it, because it's totally adorable, you'll really love it. An amazing cast of pretty crazy characters and really beautifully done. Again, congratulations on your win at the Garden State Film Festival. And
Thank you. So
we are closing out our annual filmmaker series with filmmaker Chris Vaglio, producer of The White Spruce. So I want to thank everyone for listening. Chris, thank you for being my guest today.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. 30 minutes can change your life. So please keep listening to Jersey Coastal Live. I'm Andrea Tarr. We'll see you again very soon. And again, thank you very much to my guest today, Chris. Take care, everyone. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.
Thanks, everyone.